Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to like the zillionth Almost Famous Podcast this week, because after this one, we have another one. So today, right now, today, I'm with the beautiful Serene. And then in a couple hours, I'm going to be with Clayton and Susie. So stay tuned for that episode. But hello, Serene. Let's talk about this finale. After watching the past 2 weeks back, the 2 weeks that you weren't a part of in real life, what are your feelings about everything? Are you glad you were eliminated when you were?
That's the $1 million question, right?
Yeah.
I kind of left before everything hit the fan. And, you know, I was so sad and heartbroken at the time. And obviously time helped with that. But I'm glad I wasn't there.
When did you feel recovered from the heartbreak?
You know, maybe like a month after I had left, a month and a half, I had a lot of time to reflect and think. I'm a teacher, and so I didn't come back teaching until the next semester started, and so I had some time off.
Okay. Well, during your hometown, everyone fell in love with your brother. He's awesome. There was like chance that we should have him be the next Bachelor. How did he take that last week, 2 weeks ago?
Oh my goodness. He is like still so shocked with everything. He is just excited to be here. He was last night. He was with me last night too. So it's a whole new world. I'm a little more used to it at this point than he is, but oh, it would be so fun.
Okay, I'm going to plant an idea that's probably already in the producers' heads, but I want to put it out there to the public. Why don't you bring him to Bachelor in Paradise with you? Like, I brought my sister to Bachelor in Paradise. It's been done before.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, he's a good time. He's a good time. So
she's,
I think,
like,
it would,
yes,
be fun,
we're doing this.
But also, he's my brother. And so I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I'm trying to let him, like, live in his moment and have his own experiences too. So
you can have separate experiences in paradise.
Right, right. Together. He's just my big brother. So I'm like, I don't want you to, like, see me kiss anyone. Yeah. Like,
you hide, know, behind a palm, like, tree.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Well, overall, how would you say your bachelor experience has been? And are you willing to do paradise?
Yeah, I actually had a really good experience, you know, aside from it being really hard leaving at the time, and feeling like I didn't have what I needed in those moments leaving. It ended up being a really good experience. I learned so much about myself.
Yes.
You know, so many friends that, you know, we've gone through this crazy experience together. No one else really understands, like, what we just went through. And so we're all really tight knit. So it was a wonderful experience. Would do it again. I honestly would love to go to paradise. I am still, you know, single and still wanting to find my guy. And, you know, there's some cuties out there. So I'm just hopeful and excited that I'll get to be there.
You can't say there are some cuties without naming who you think is cute.
Oh, God.
Come on.
See, I shot myself in the foot with that one. Yeah, I mean, there are multiple. It's just hard, though, because I'm so big on personality that I don't want to say anything and then be, like, glued to it, because I feel like, you know, I can think someone's, like, attractive and then meet them and then it's just, like, not the vibe. You know yeah. what I mean? So big on, like, personalities. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say, but there are a couple.
Okay, well, that's a great way of getting out of answering that question. I'll give you one more chance. Who do you think is cute? No, it's okay. I already put you on the spot. It's fine. It's fine. We'll find out soon enough, I'm sure, who you're into, who you ask the producers that you want to be there. And there's a whole other season of guys that you'll get to choose from when you see your friends, Gabby and Rachel, become bachelorette, and then you'll get their quote, quote, rejects. How do you feel about Gabby and Rachel both being bachelorette? I need to give my little two cents on this. Ever since Caitlin and Britt were, you know, 7 years ago, both chosen to be bachelorette, I thought this is how that season was going to go when I initially heard two bachelorettes. I was like, oh, okay, they'll, like, date together. It will be like, oh, a group date with Gabby, a group date with Rachel. That's very much the way that Joe Millionaire went this year. I wonder if they were inspired by that. Okay. So I was like, that sounds like a cool idea. And then they ended up having to choose, you know, between Caitlin and Britt. And then that was, like, not so cool. But ever since I had, you know, not just me, but, like, that idea was planted that two girls could date the group at the same time, I thought they should do that. So I'm really excited. And I think, like, Rachel and Gabby are both very likable. I think we would be sad for the other one if they didn't get the opportunity. So back to my question for you. How do you feel about your, I'm assuming, two friends becoming the bachelorette together?
I love them both so much. And I don't think that there was a better scenario, like, at all. I hadn't thought about the chance of there being two of them just because we had two the last two seasons. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't really sure, like, what that meant.
Yeah,
or how.
Yeah, look at that.
I didn't hear about it. But I'm so happy for both of them. They so deserve it. They are both, like, the kindest, most funny women. They're going to be entertaining to watch. And, you know, I'm here for the love stories too. Like, it's living in the house with them. I fell in love with them, aww, you know? So I think it'll be so easy for the audience to do the same, for 30 men to do the same. they're both incredible. It is going to be so interesting to watch. I wonder how it's going to work. I did not watch Joe Millionaire, but I've heard about it. But, you know, I've seen the tweets of people being like, that would be interesting. And now it's happening. So.
Do they have similar taste in men? Do we know their type outside of Clayton?
I think that they're so different in every way.
Yeah, they really are.
They both obviously dated Clayton. And so, and you know, they were both really invested in their relationships with him. And so I think there might be a little bit of crossing over, but like they have the same type.
I can already foresee it, Serena. They're going to both like one guy. They're like going to be really invested in one guy. And I'm sure like they'll each have like a couple, you know, individually. But then there's going to be this one guy who both of them want to take to top three. And then he's going to say, I love them both.
Yeah. But like, that's so, it's crazy to think though. Like, are they going to have to pick like for hometowns? Like, are the guys going to have to pick who they go with, or can they go with both? Or like,
I'm sure they're going to kind of make it up as they go. Whatever's the most dramatic scenario, they'll probably go with. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wild to think about.
Craziness. All right. So seriously, so many. It's going to keep each week interesting. And I love that. We definitely need something fresh. I'm excited. I think they're going to get a boost in viewers because of it. Okay. Let's take a quick break. And we will go through this finale straight through. All right, let's do it. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
the medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's start with Clayton talking to Susie. Basically, she comes to his room, or I guess Jesse comes to Susie's room and is like, so Clayton really wants to be with you, basically. And then she knocks on the door. She says hello quickly to his parents, pulls him aside. And that's when he's basically like, I'm going. I just want to be with you. I love you the most again. Right. You know, I still love you the most. And then he basically says in that moment, I'm going to dump the other girls because, like, I want to be with you. Even if it turns out that you don't want to be with me, I'm going to, like, let you go and linger this over. And, but my decision's made. Like, it's you or nothing. So then he goes and he breaks up with the other girls together. What are your thoughts on this? Why does he do everything together? Why are all these big moments together? I have to say, like, Caitlin Bristow and I were talking a little bit yesterday. It just seems like, you know, the poor guy was had no backbone with, like, production suggestions.
I honestly, like, I have no clue because I never would have done that. And I know it's easy to say that having not been in his shoes, but I can't imagine the scenario of breaking up with people in a group like that. I even thought, like, telling, you know, them you love them in a group together, even though he had said it, like, separately, I wouldn't have done that either. Uh-huh. Because in turn, you end up having to have two separate conversations anyway. Uh-huh. I was so, like, that was what I was the most shocked by.
I mean, I think pretty much that was the moment that was the most jaw-dropping. It was like, okay, I saw him wanting to be with Susie and, like, you know, like, trying to pursue that all the way, but I didn't foresee this group breakup.
I think, you know, and I think no matter what it was going to be, you know, it already turned into a mess. It was going to be heartbreaking for whoever. And that was going to be a hard decision, an uncomfortable decision for him. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I get it. Like, follow your heart. Like, if you feel sick, like, you can't choose the other two.
I know.
Like, I get it. But the breaking up with them at the same time thing was what I was the most jarred by.
Yes.
It was really hard to watch. And then it's like, okay, you're leaving with someone to go check on them and then leaving someone there. I just thought that there should have been like two separate conversations. I mean, it's easy for me to say like what I would have done, but like, I'm not the Bachelor, but like that, I didn't agree with that. And that was, it was really hard to watch.
Yeah. We've seen similar situations where the Bachelor, the lead, whatever, goes and breaks up with multiple people at this point in the competition process. And it's always them like knocking on separate doors. So very, very bizarre. And it's, and when people, I'm assuming when people say like the way that he treated, like there's lots of comments online being like, I can't believe the way that he treated Gabby and Rachel. What's your take on that? Because my take is the fact that he's doing this in a group setting and like not treating them like with a lot of empathy, I think. But like, I think people need to realize this is something that Caitlin and I were talking about yesterday. This is still the process. This is still the Bachelor process. We still eliminate people down to the person that we want to be with. And I think that like somewhere along the way in the past couple weeks, that was muddled. And maybe, and again, like guys, I keep referencing the Caitlin conversation, but we did really break this down. I think that possibly that's because we're rooting for these girls harder than we're rooting for Clayton. And that's probably because we didn't really know Clayton because, you know, we didn't get attached to him on a previous season. So here we are knowing the girls just as much as him. And I think that people are kind of forgetting that this is the Bachelor process. Like, he has to dump people in order to be with the person he wants to be with.
Yeah, no, so true. There is something I've been thinking about also, though, like as far as like, you know, empathy and like thinking things through.
Yeah.
He didn't go to hometowns. He didn't go to fantasy suites.
Yeah, that's the thing. He doesn't know how that feels.
He has no clue how it feels.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he had an idea of like how invested they both were. Like you could see it in his face when he talked to them. But I mean, I think it was just it's his first time doing this. And so he wasn't really, you know, I think at the time he thought he was doing the best thing. I really have to wonder with him, you know, deciding to go in there in a group, like, did we all know that he was just going to go break up with them together? Or did anybody say maybe we should have separate conversations? Or was he like, no, this is how I want to do it?
I don't know. He's like, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off. I don't want to do this twice.
Yeah, like he had to have two separate conversations anyway. So I don't know. It's so tough. And it's that was like the hardest part for me to watch, especially like them both being my friends and like, you know, convincing Gabby to stay, like she wanted to leave, and so, like my issue
there's the issue there too, is like just begging for her to stay,
saying that like staying is a testament to the relationship. That's like a whole different thing though, because then you get to like the elimination of it all, like that is part of the process. Like when I got broken up with, my whole thing was, I'm not mad you're breaking up with me, I'm mad that like I feel like you're not really giving me answers.
Yeah, that's right, I remember you saying that.
And so it's like, you know, I think for them, it was probably similar, a lot more painful because, you know, they did have like that intimate time and like hours on end together with like no interruption. But like, it's so tough to think about like not like being addressed in a group so often. It kind of like Rachel
makes you not feel like an individual.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking. Yeah, it's just like Gabby says, you know, you took 2 days away from me that I could have been with my friends and family. And I totally see that side where it's like you dragged me on for another 2 days after begging me to stay. It's so messed up. But again, to play devil's advocate, it's kind of the process. It's like you need you need like the amount of days that you need to make the decision. I still love I love the way that Gabby handled herself in that moment. She just was like, no BS. She was like, no, I don't really want to hear it from you. Like, I'm really over this. I think they handled this breakup exactly how we imagined, which was basically how they did in the previous night's episode. Mm-hmm. Rachel, extremely emotional, just like would do anything to stay with him. And then Gabby just being like, nah, goodbye. She just, I feel like she really knew her worth.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I knew Rachel was going to be a little harder to watch just because I know Rachel. I knew Gabby would probably have a little different of a reaction. I was trying to think, I'm like, how would I react in this situation? And I feel like I would have been a little more like Gabby.
See, that's awesome. Caitlin and I were saying we wish we could be Gabby, but we know we'd be Rachel. I know I would be Rachel. Just be like, oh.
I'd be Rachel behind the scenes. I'd be Rachel behind the scenes. Like, I don't know if you saw my face when I left. I was stone cold, and then I cried as soon as I walked into the hotel.
Well, good for you. I love that you're able to like keep the poise and then break down. That is an admirable quality I wish I had.
Oh no, I wasn't trying. Like, I was just shocked.
Oh,
like,
okay. It hit you then?
I was like stunned and a little like pissed at the same time. Yeah. It was, I knew Rachel was going to be really hard to watch. Like, I had tears in my eyes. I'm like trying to like suck them back into my eyeballs, like watching last night. Yeah. But I mean, I know ultimately, you know, it comes down to the decision. It comes down to the process. And like, if Susie was still there and Susie like ended up meeting the family even briefly, and that's what he decided he wanted, I don't think either of them had an issue with that being his choice. It was just like the way that he got to that choice and the way he navigated the decisions like prior to that, that was what was so hurtful, I think. Mm-hmm. Because like no one wants to be chosen just because someone else isn't there. And they both made that very clear.
Yes.
You know, and I think it was just like the process that like the actual process that was chosen, like the path that was chosen to get there is what was so tough to watch and just so hard for both of them.
Yes. A little synopsis of Gabby and Clayton on stage together with Jesse. Gabby tells Clayton that watching it back makes her feel super misled. She said that she wasn't given all the information, especially when she was deciding whether she wanted to leave or not. And she said that's what hurts the most. She feels betrayed. And he said there's nothing I can do more than apologize. And he says watching it back, you know, he wished he could have handled it differently and didn't have any bad intentions. When she says that she wasn't given all the information, is that the fact that what is that? What didn't she say? I guess that he loved. Oh, that he said, yeah, he forgot to tell them. I love you both, but I love Susie the most.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's a big missing part.
Yeah. I think, you know, even watching, you know, the fantasy suite dates, by the end of each of them, I was like, they each think they're the one.
Right.
Definitely each think they're the one, which is like, you know, I assume part of the normal experience.
Yeah. If you're told I love you in the fantasy suite, you're pretty sure that you're the one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know exactly what she meant by that. I mean, there was a lot of information left out. There was, you know, I think he was so focused on trying to keep them there that he was just sharing, you know, like, I don't want you to leave. Like, I want to see this through with you. Mm-hmm. But then the other side of that was, I guess he wasn't being like fully transparent about like his other feelings. Like, yeah, I'm shattered. Susie's gone. But like, I still want to explore this with you. But like in his mind, he was like, oh my goodness, this might be like over for me, I guess.
I guess. But maybe am I like giving him too much credit and thinking that like it maybe didn't dawn on him that he wanted to go after Susie until after the two met his family?
I think he did.
You think
he did? He was so mad when she had that conversation with him at the end of their date. Mm-hmm. That like that kind of blinded his view of like what he really wanted. And he was like reacting, I think, to that. And just trying to move on from that. Like you see him shut the door and he's like, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe his like mind changed or maybe he thought differently in that moment, but it was just like a rush of emotions and like his true feelings of like, okay, like I do love you the most were still there.
Yeah. Like he needed time to soften a little bit.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so then one other last thing about Gabby and Clayton up on stage together. Clayton says, I want you to know that I did have love for all of you. And then Gabby says, when you say love someone, you are assuming responsibility to love them and to care for them, and you didn't do any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about him actually truly being in love and using, like, I agree with her. I was talking to Caitlin yesterday. I really think that he was in lust with all of them and was just getting really confused because it didn't really seem like love, especially when we see the behavior.
I don't know. And it's like, I've never been in love with multiple people at once. I've never thought I was in love with multiple people at once. So it's like hard to imagine like where he's coming from with that. And like, I thought it was interesting too when Gabby, you know, said, I do think I could fall in love with more than one person.
Yeah.
She's like, I might just like navigate it differently or something.
I can't believe these girls are totally going to be haunted by this. There's going to be multiple loves in this upcoming season.
Yeah. But I think my issue was more of, I had love for both of you. It's like, you're still putting them in a group when you're having a singular conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, again, but I do think he like deeply cared for them. I mean, and I'm saying that too, because I left right before all of this. Like, I felt like he maybe could love me too. And so I think it's just, he had like a wild experience and like wasn't prepared for all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even, like, I think, you know, falling in love and being in love are different things. I get confused on, you know, he said he was in love or falling in love to who or what, like, I get confused about all of that. I think he said he loved them both and he was falling in love with both of them, but
so many different ways of saying it on The Bachelor.
Yeah. I think, you know, to be in love with someone like that, you would be a little more, I don't know,
delicate,
respectful of their boundaries at that time. You know, if someone says I'm done, like, there's still multiple people there and like you're fighting for all of them. Like, I think that there was love there, but like what that looks like for him, like, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Rachel's same thing about like, she didn't know what his definition of love was. Like, I have no clue. Like, I'm confused as the rest of us by all of this. Yeah.
Well, you know the man, so that makes me feel like, yeah, I can listen to your opinion with like a little bit more strength.
Yeah, for, you know, sure.
And yeah,
I think I was blindsided and confused when I left too. So it's, yeah, I don't know.
Well, he's been getting so much criticism.
Right.
I got to know from you, somebody who actually knows him, do you watch these episodes and you're like, oh, I'm so glad I dodged this bullet? Or do you have more empathy than you think the average viewer does?
It's a little bit of both, because okay, I think knowing him, I expected a little bit better navigation of some of these situations. And, you know, like being someone who said like I was in love with him, like I felt like I knew him well enough to feel safe. And I think kind of that's where Gabby was coming from with that comment. And I would have hoped that he would have never done something like that to me. And so I can see where the girls are coming from, but also I have a lot of empathy for him because, you know, this is his first time doing this. And like, he didn't make it to these parts of Michelle's season and, you know, was thrown right into it immediately. As soon as he got home. And so I do have a lot of empathy for him. There are like so many different moving parts, multiple people. I know that he had strong feelings for a lot of people. And so it's just, I think watching him navigate it for the first time, like as someone that knows him and, you know, I had gotten over it and gotten my closure, like, you know, before the show started airing. So it was more of, hoping that he did it to the best of his ability, because, like, you know, you always care for someone, and, like, you know that the shoes that he's in, he's getting so much criticism and, like, so much, like, unnecessary hate. So it's a little bit of both for me. Like, I'm glad I wasn't there. I do think everything happens for a reason. Seeing, like, more now, like, I'm for sure like, oh, there's no way that was ever, like, the person for me. Right. But at the time, like, I do know him. I do, like, care for his, like, well-being and his, like, mental health. And, like, I do, like, you know, it was hard sitting there at the women tell all and hearing some of the stuff that was being said too. And, you know, it sucks when some of it's true and, like, some of it's, like, warranted. It doesn't, like, make it feel any better to, like, watch someone just be repeatedly, like, kind of harped on for the same things. But, like, you know, he is accepting of his reactions and, you know, how he's, like, navigated through all of this, and he's, like, learning from it. And mm-hmm. I think that's, like, all we can ask from him. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Like, after it's all said and done, you know,
that is totally true. And, like, he said last night, he was like, I have learned more in, like, the past 5 months than basically ever before.
Right. Five years and 5 months is what he said.
Oh, 5 years and 5 months. Okay. Thank you for the exact quote. So I got to know your take on the way that he spoke to Susie last week, because that's what I really can't get over when I see the two of them together now. I'm like, how did she get over that if I can't get over that?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard. Like, watching that, like, he said he didn't know who he was looking at, and my mouth
fell. And I'm like, I don't know who you are.
I'm looking at. Because, like, I dated him too. Like, mm-hmm. I was in love with him too. And I was like, who is that? Like, yes. I didn't know it was there.
Yes.
And so that was, like, really scary, you know, knowing that you can go through this process, like, and get that far and, like, not see, you know,
there's, like, a dark side of
someone that they might need to work on too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that was tough. And Susie is an absolute angel. She's so calm, well spoken. She was, like, my roommate the entire time through this process. So proud of how she handled herself through that. I don't know how I would have been, but I think she was incredible, and really proud of her for that. But yeah, no, that was insane to watch. Like, I was super uncomfortable with it and super shocked. I had no idea that that was coming. You know, I was like, okay, maybe it's a disagreement, maybe it's a fight, but those words were so hurtful. It was really hard to watch, for sure.
All right. Well, I want to talk to you more about Susie and Clayton and their relationship. We got to take a quick break, so we'll talk about that right after this. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts.
6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety Archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you missed it, we had Caitlin Bristow on the podcast yesterday. Go check out the episode. We had so much fun. As you probably heard, I've been referencing the conversation a zillion times. We had some poignant thoughts on this season of The Bachelor. To our listeners that like a nice glass of wine like Caitlin, or two or three or a whole bottle, all good. If you like that, if you like wine, you like The Bachelor, and you like embarrassing stories, check out Caitlin's podcast, Off the Vine, whether that's talking about the importance of self-care, letting go of shame, the comparison game, we all feel that, or the hardships of feeling misunderstood. Caitlin isn't holding back. She's talking about all of that stuff. Every Tuesday and Thursday, get ready as the co-host of The Bachelorette takes us through her wild world of dance, vino, The Bachelor, celeb friends, more vino and anything else that comes into her life, like her new fiance. Oh, Jason Tartik. What a cute couple they are. So she's going to talk about all this stuff, and you're going to get some good laughs. You're going to get some unfiltered advice. And more importantly, you're going to find ways to empower people, because Caitlin does a great job empowering people. And you're going to get fueled by some liquid courage. It's a celebration of life backstage, behind the social media curtain. Listen to Off the Vine wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, Serene, when did you find out that Clayton and Susie were rekindling things? Because you say that you guys are roommates, so you must have a relationship outside of the Bachelor bubble as well.
Right. I didn't ever really ask any questions because I didn't want to know with any of the top three. So I found out like this week.
Okay. I'm so confused, you guys. We knew everything. We had this big Bachelor message and we were just like, blah, 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 blah. Like I knew the entire way that this was going to unfold the season when I was on the show. And now you tell me this. And then Jill, because she's from Rhode Island and then we hang out, she is like best friends with Rachel. And I asked her just a couple days ago, I was like, so like, but you know, like what happens with Rachel, right? And she's like, no, I really don't. Like, what do you mean? Like, why are you guys asking these things? Like, good for you. You're watching like fans and I like that.
Well, there was like, I mean, honestly, there was so much love between all of us that we were all, I think everyone was so respecting of everyone's
boundaries.
It is
respectful. It just really feels respectful.
Like the top four of us didn't even get added to like the big group chat until like way after everyone else because people were kind of like scared of
that. Yeah.
Are you okay? Like, yeah. Do you want to talk? Like, I don't know. Yeah. And I think for me, I didn't know, like, if I asked someone, like, am I asking someone to like spill the beans on their heartbreak and maybe they're not like ready to talk about it yet? I had no clue.
Well, you guys were right. The way that everything ended for these girls was scary, you know? It's something that they wouldn't want to talk about with the group for a while.
I'm glad I didn't cry because.
Yeah. All right. Well, then this week when you found out that they were together, what were your thoughts, especially since you found this out while you're watching this happen on TV? Because if you're like the average fan, I think we're all like, really, Susie? You sure?
Yeah. That's the thing is like, I like knowing Susie and like being so close with her, like I trust her judgment and like her decision making. And like, I know that she will stand up for herself through and through. I know that the conversations that they will have had to have, you know, before all of this, you know, within the couple of months had to have been, you know, big enough for them to be together right now, you know, she was able to state her piece and like calmly leave. And then even after that, still having the feelings that she had for him, even though they were a little different than his, you know, I felt like her feelings were maybe a little jaded at that point.
Mm-hmm, okay.
You know, just that was like my interpretation of it is it's like you don't want like this magical moment, like a proposal starting of forever to be like muddled by like everything that we just went through. And I think the way that she said that was, you know, she has such a way with words. Like she's so good at expressing herself. And I think knowing her, the conversations that they will have had in private up to this point, I think that, you know, she's making an educated decision for herself. I don't know, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to her since then, and I can't wait to call her and get, you know, a little more of the details since, you know, we were so close in the house and everything. But, you know, I think if after all this, she's decided, you know, to reach out to him. They said that she reached out to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she decided to reach out to him and they had those conversations. She did say it sounded like they had been like working on building a new foundation. And I was like, okay, girl, like snaps for you. Like it sounds like they're thinking things through. And they've really had like the time to talk a lot of this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were all shocked by it. But at the end of the day, like, I think they're both just doing like what they want to do, like their heart desires, you know, what they came into this for. And, you know, they didn't leave like engaged. And so I think it's good that they're like dating and like trying to navigate this as like a normal couple now.
Yeah. My biggest question for them, and I'm interviewing them in like about an hour, is, Susie, how'd you get from being at that altar and saying, you're not my person, I don't even love you enough to date you, or I don't even like, basically, like, I don't even like you enough to date you.
I forgot about that part.
I know. I know we skipped over that part a little bit.
happening last night that it just
I know to where you are now, to DMing him, right? Like, I really want to know, like, what happened in your head. And it wasn't just that, it wasn't just like, you know, I discovered you're not my person. It's also the whole conversation that they had last week where it's like, I won't be able to get over the hump of you saying, yeah, like, of you sleeping with other people and with saying I love you. So there's like all these things. It's like, Susie, how'd you get over it and just DM him?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think too, like the timing of, I think the sleeping with other people and saying I love you to multiple people, I think it was more a timing thing of like, I don't want to get engaged to you 2 days after that happened. Like,
well, do you think that that was really an engagement thing? Like, he did pull out the ring, which was kind of, he pulled out the ring.
I shook to the core. I did. When he pulled out that ring, I was like, God, I hope there's not a camera on my face right now because I'm shocked.
The whole scene was awkward. Okay. When they were like going to meet up to like have this final conversation, I thought it'd be like on a bench in Iceland, you know, in like a cute cafe in Reykjavik. Well, no, it was a full blown bachelor finale rose ceremony. It was stunning in there. She wore the big gown. He had the ring in his pocket. Like, I just was not expecting this. And I wonder if Susie was expecting that, because that would have thrown me off and made me so much more nervous.
I mean, she had to have expected it. Did you see what she looked like? Yeah. Like, she looked like she was ready to get married right there.
Yeah.
Like, stunning. Like, she had to have known.
Yeah,
she
you're right. With the dress, she knew.
Like, I don't know. Like, I was literally thinking about that too. Like, she got ready, like, looks gorgeous, like, dressed to the nines. Like, what was she thinking was going to happen? I can't wait to listen to y'all's conversation.
Thank you for adding that question now to my list. I didn't even think, like, she had to put that gown on, so she definitely expected it to look like a final rose ceremony, which just adds the pressure to the conversation. It's like, at an altar, I'm going to tell this man no thank you.
I mean, and there could have been the chance that she thought, like, okay, he's just going to, like, offer me the rose. Like, but he had a ring in his pocket. Like, I had no clue.
I think that was really just to get the Neil Lane name in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Neil Lane, though. We love him. He's so great.
Yeah, literally, Jesse was like, Clayton's about to pull the biggest Hail Mary. And I was like, boom, ring. And I was like, okay, that's not what I thought was going to happen.
You know what question I've got to ask them? Why did she say on the live show, I would have to be the one proposing?
I don't know. I think she was, that's just like Susie. She's just like,
She just blurted something and it has no meaning.
She's honestly like the biggest personality, biggest goofball, wild person. Like, so I think she's like, oh, this is my man. Like, I might be the one to propose. Like, I don't know.
Okay. All right. That's cute. I felt like that maybe didn't carry as much weight as some people were thinking.
I don't think so.
Okay. So we won't be seeing Susie be like being a modern woman and getting down on one knee.
We might.
Former Miss Virginia proposes to Clayton Eckert. All right. So let's just talk briefly about something that we kind of skipped over. And that was Rachel and Clayton's sit down on the stage. My biggest takeaway from that moment is just like how she's just like, you never loved us. Like, I just don't believe you. That was the big line. I don't believe you. And then we see her dad sitting there like, you know, Tony Soprano. He, I mean, come on, dude. He's like, there's no way that he's not forcing himself to have that much of a straight face.
I think it's natural.
You really? It's like almost.
I don't think he's worried about the cameras looking at him or America.
It's such a straight face. It almost looks like acting. He's like the security guard in the front row of a concert.
Hearing contest, yeah.
So funny. Anything you feel like that stood out to you other than that moment where she said, like, you never loved us?
Yeah, I think I'm really proud of Rachel for, like, standing up for herself. And that was something I kind of saw coming because, you know, with one person, they were a little more angry up front. And then they had, you know, Gabby had her conversation with him and has had a lot more time to, like, think about, you know, what she wanted to say and stuff like that, because she said so much of it in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then with Rachel, like, I've definitely been Rachel in a situation before where you're so emotional at first and then you're like angry later. You actually, like, you know, your vision is like foggy, you know, with all of this emotion. And then, like, you look at it and you're like, what was that? You know?
Yeah.
I think you try to put yourself in those shoes. And I think that's what Rachel did. She loved him so much that she couldn't imagine doing the things that he did. And so to her, the answer is you weren't in love with us. But I think, like, love looks different to everyone. And that's also something she said, is she's like, I don't even know what, like, your definition of love is after this.
Yeah. And he continues to stand by the fact that he did love them. He says that she was the first person he said, I love you too, in 6 years. And she says, was it to sleep with me? I think he said it to sleep with me.
Fell open.
What? Your mouth fell open.
God. Yeah. Yeah. I did not expect that one from her, but I think he was just living in the moment and he wasn't thinking about, like, he wasn't thinking things through. I think he just, he took experience all of this very literally and experienced all of it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Could you imagine being her dad and there's just like all this sex talk?
No. I was like across from him and like looking at him, he was like looking at the floor a lot of the time. Like he didn't, like, you could tell he didn't want to watch some of it. Every time his baby girl was on the screen though, every time she was on the screen, his eyes were glued. Aww. So,
well, I think we all hope to see more of him and Gabby's grandfather as part of the season. We don't want to just see them at hometowns. We want to see them throughout.
It's Tony and Grandpa.
Totally. Is his name really Tony?
I think so.
I think it is. Yeah.
Tony. Big Tony.
Yes, that's awesome. Serene, before I let you go, let's talk about Jesse Palmer coming back as host for the next season. How did you like him as host and how was he in real life?
Jesse is so kind. He's so incredible.
He is.
Like, so comforting. I remember being sent home and he did that thing. He put his hands together and he was like, Serene, it's time to say your final goodbyes. There could not have been a more comforting person to say those words. Like, I just remember kind of thinking, like, can I hug you?
Oh, he is so sweet. So, like, nice. There's something so, you're right, comforting about him. Like, I can't put it on. He's just really easy to talk to. He's really comfortable to be around.
Yeah, no, he's incredible. He's so nice. And he's definitely very hands-on. Like, he actually talked to us. He wasn't just like a host. I mean, I don't know like how the other hosts were, but like he wasn't just a host that like showed up when it was time to show up. Like, I would see him around the hotel and he'd be like, hey Serene, what's up, like, what you been up to? Like, he's just a very nice guy, like, yeah, through and through. So love that for him. I think he'll do great. I also think, you know, with what Rachel and Gabby went through, like, he was there for that, you know, so they're comfortable with him. And that is everything.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's a good, good point. All right, Serene, you have been a fantastic guest, a fantastic Bachelor contestant, and we really hope to see you getting with one of those cuties in paradise. Clayton is rooting for you too. Did you hear last week that he said you're like the one person that he just is really looking forward to finding love in paradise, you know, if you so choose to?
That's so nice. And, you know, he knows some of them. So I'm like, do you know something I don't? Like, spill the beans, Clayton. Who's interested? I'm kidding.
I'm sure you'll get word from Susie soon enough.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks so much for being here. Bye.
Yeah,
oh, wait, this is how we have to sign off. Ben would be so disappointed if I decided to just say bye. Okay, this is how we do it. I've been Ashley.
Oh, and I've been Serene.
Yay! Awesome. We're so proud of people when they get the hang of it. I don't know why.
Oh, it's my gosh. I feel like it ever. Took me way too long.
No, it didn't. It's the weirdest thing. It's just something that's stuck. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant, sport formula, to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Ladies and gentlemen. We are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.